For he took us as we were. This here is the Truth of the Matter on the Six Eyes Radio Network, Station 1. And we want to say welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press it number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, and at the end of the program, your questions or comments as they may come up from the message, as we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house again tonight. Hallelujah. So, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us tonight?
Well, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and a band of angels with you, and then we have two 616 people with that need to put their hand up if they want to speak. And then we have Brother Quick and his wife, which is just me.
And just you, okay. Well, our 616 callers, if you wish to speak, just press number one, and we will get you on so you can have your prayer requests. Okay. And, well, I'm going to have you start us off, Ruthie, and give what prayer request you have.
Okay, we better pray for Tim. He was telling me that he's having some issues, and he wrote me a almost a book size email. So there's some things going on between him and his parents and his pastor, Steve. So we just want to pray for the three of them. Well, actually, like four of them. So they've got some kind of fight going between them all. So anyway, yeah, and me, I'm having a problem with my finger. It's snapping again. It's like arthritis. And I praise the Lord for the pool experience I had today. I had so much fun. I was just having a good old time. So I got to go next week, and then I'll be doing it again in around December again. So, yeah, they flip me around, but at least I get some exercise in the water, and it's good for me. I praise the Lord for my loss of 20 pounds, and I just want to praise the Lord for that too. Let me think. Of course, we have to pray for Emily. She just got home, and let's see. Annabelle, I think, had something. I don't know about Lila. We'll just pray for them anyway. And pray for the network and all the people in 150 countries that have needs. So we're cool, and that I'm complete.
Okay, and of course, we want to pray the situation over in Israel and that war that's going on over there. They need to definitely get that worked out. We need to be praying for, of course, our military, be praying for, of course, all our country's leaders. They need to seek after God, not after man. Be praying as this election nears this year here in the United States that each and every voter, they'd seek after God as they go to cast their vote, their voice, that they would seek God above all as they vote. Be praying for all of our politicians, and then be praying, of course, for our first responders, all our medical personnel. Be praying for, of course, the sick and shut-in, the lost, especially that soul who is nearest hell. Be praying for Brother Quick and his wife, and especially Brother Quick tonight for clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech tonight for his message. Pray for those hearts hearing that message tonight, especially the one who is nearest hell, that they'd come to Jesus from that. Be praying that the message would touch hearts and lives tonight. And especially for those who are listening to it that are saved, if the message touched them as well. Be praying, of course, for the blind ministry as we continue to raise funds for the bus. We're doing well on that. Continue prayers for that, the blind ministry. We got a couple new pages up there, so we just want to continue to pray for that and be praying for, of course, Six Eyes Radio Network and the team there and our needs here at Six Eyes. And, of course, I think that should do it. And, okay, did our callers press the number one, Ruth?
No, I think they just want to listen tonight.
Okay, well, if they did, that would have been nice. Okay, we're going to ask Sister Quick for any prayer requests she has, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Quick after that for anything he has, and then open us in prayer and get into his message.
Well, a praise report tonight would be that my brother and my niece are listening, and I thank the Lord for that. And then we have some unspoken yet. And you can just continue to pray their special unspoken. And this weekend, we have a couple boys of ours that's going to come over and do a little remodeling, I guess you'd call it, in our house. And I thank the Lord for that as well. And with that, I'm complete.
All right. I was wondering if you're going to get complete on that or not. Amen. And she just looks at me and smiles. You know, that little smile. She got that little smile. She don't have to say another word. I can just take that little smile, and I know what she's saying. Amen. I mean, after nearly 59 years of marriage, I know her pretty good. Amen and amen on that. All right. Well, there's a prayer request that comes to me in the mail. I can't find this place on any atlas, It's just a small place, evidently up in the mountains, over in Kentucky. And there's seniors over there that they live out in the country, and they're having a good bit of trouble getting in and getting the food that they need. Children are, they say, 1 in 5 of the children go to bed hungry at night. And it's just, it's a little place called Appalachia. And there is a great need there for sure. And that's just one of those things that we're evidently going to see in these last days, because I'm going to be touching on that just a little bit tonight. If you've got a Bible, turn, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And I'm going to read a verse or two, and then I'm going to ask the Lord to help us this night. John chapter number 14, verse number 1 says this: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." I have a red letter edition Bible, and these words that I just read to you are in red. They are the very words that the Lord Jesus said himself, and we're just glad that they have been penned for us to be able to see these thousands of years later. Let me read that again. Let not your heart be troubled. World today, there's people in Appalachia, Kentucky, that have troubled hearts. There's people all over this great nation of ours, the United States of America. They got troubled hearts. Why do they have such troubled hearts? Well, listen to the rest of this verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm asking now that you would, every word that I say this night, and apply it to those hearts where it needs to be applied. I'm glad you applied these words to my heart so many years ago. I've never been sorry for that. And I'm asking tonight that you deal with sinners, because I know there'll be sinners that'll hear me. And when they hear me, I want them to understand I'm just nothing more than the voice of God. I'm speaking as God has spoken to me. And Lord, I want you to just help them to understand that when they hear this message, they're going to be hearing from you. So we're just asking you to be with each one of these requests that were made this night. I was told that Emily has an unspoken request, and we want to remember that for sure. And we have three or four special unspoken requests, Miss Quick and I. And we're just so glad to know that we've got prayer warriors all around this world that are praying along with us, Lord. And we're just, makes us so glad and so happy. So I'm asking you take the message this night and apply it to hearts where they need to be applied. And just help me, give me clarity of speech, clarity of mind, and give me that message from you that will touch the heart that's nearest hell tonight. Now be with us in a special way now, and we'll say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this message that I'm going to be preaching to you tonight is My Lord, the Coming King. He is coming. There's no doubt about that. He is coming. But you see, there are more wars in this world that we have today. There's more wars than at any previous time in our history. I'm not joking yet. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 24, listen to these words. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. I'm sure glad that the Lord put that in the word. I'm glad he put it there. Verse number 7 of chapter 24, Matthew. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. I just read to you, like I'm reading out of the daily newspaper, there's famines all over America, not just the world. There's hungry people right here in America. We live in the state of Georgia. I'm sure that there's hungry people right here in the state of Georgia. I believe that. I know that there's hungry people in Appalachia, Kentucky. I get that in the mail quite often. They're just hungry people. And my darling wife, she said, I will never forget that day that our own son, he wasn't very, what, maybe 3 years old. I had been in and out of the hospital so much back then. And it was mealtime. I just had gotten home from the hospital. And it was mealtime. And he came to me and he said, Daddy, I'm hungry. I need some food. I said, well, let's go out to the kitchen and tell your mama. So we went out to the kitchen and got a hold of mama. And I said, honey, we got a boy here that's hungry. And he looked at his mother and he says, I'm really hungry, mama. And my wife looked to me and she said, honey, you haven't been here. You've been in our hospital so much. We don't have any food in the house. I grabbed my son's hand and my wife's hand. I said, we're going to gather around the table. We're going to thank God for the food that he hasn't given us. And as I was praying, I heard this thump. And I didn't know. I just knew I heard a thump. Just one. I got done praying. My wife says, did you hear that noise? And I said, yeah, I don't know where it's coming from. So I went to the door and tried to open the door up. We had an 8-foot by 16-foot porch outside of that door. I could not get the door opened. There was bag upon bag upon bag of food that somebody had brought over. Went to the church house. I expected somebody would come up and say, well, I'm glad that we was able to bring some food over to you, but not the first person ever said one word to us. We never, ever knew who it was that brought that food to the house. But we saw that food, and my son said, oh, wow, Daddy. I said, boy, we're going to gather around. We're going to eat the food that God just gave us. And we did. And the Lord's been good to us time after time after time like that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me, the very words of the Lord Jesus. And there's more wars and rumors of wars going on in our world today. And by the way, have you heard the news lately? There's places right here in America where there's earthquakes taking place. they should never have an earthquake. They got all this thing figured out about the, I don't know what they call them things. But the news people will say that's highly unusual for an earthquake to hit anywhere in that nation. It has never happened before. Well, it's happened several times since then. Amen. It's true. The Word of God is true. The Word of God said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. There's wars and rumors of wars everywhere you want to look. Right here in America, there's rumors of war. War and rumors of war going on right here in America. See that ye be not troubled. Oh, for all of these things must come to pass, Jesus said. But the end is not yet. Oh, it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse, I'm telling you. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The very words of the Lord Jesus to us. We better believe in him for sure. But you see, these final seconds of this last day are getting to be dangerous, very dangerous. One of my hero preachers, he's now home with the Lord, been home with the Lord for several years. That was one of his favorite sayings. Every time that he would stand to preach, he would say something about the final seconds of the last day. He was telling the truth. Jesus can come anytime, anytime. There is no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus can come. All of the prophecies have been fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled before he comes. So what's he waiting on? He's waiting on us. Oh, don't you remember that first verse? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. Nobody better to believe in but the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. But you see, I must remind all who hear my voice the very words of the Lord Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're talking about a real, honest belief. Believing in the Lord Jesus, believing in God. That's an honest belief. It's a powerful belief. He is our creator. He is our father. When no one else can be trusted, our God in heaven certainly can be trusted. Amen and amen. Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is our Lord. Oh, Jesus is also our friend. Listen to this verse from John chapter 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You see, Jesus calls us a friend. Wow. Can you find anybody else that you can believe in for your friendship is true from one day to the next? It's hard to find in this world today. Amen. It's really hard to find. In America, it's hard to find. Amen. You see, Israel is in war right now. Well, Israel has always been closest and dearest allies. But then we have a feller sitting in the White House, and he's told Israel, you're on your own. We're not going to help you. I can't believe that. President Trump, if he were there, there would be no war in Israel because he defends Israel. He loves Israel. He knows Israel is our dearest ally in the Middle East. He knows that. But Mr. Biden doesn't seem to know that. Mr. Biden doesn't seem to know anything about too many of our friends. Amen. But that's all right. We're not going to have to live with him much longer. Amen. But you see, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. You see, Jesus is our friend. He's our high priest. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hallelujah. Just because the Lord Jesus went to heaven, that doesn't mean he's all done with us. He's sitting at the hand of the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for you and for me, every one of us that believe that the Lord is our Savior and our Lord. He's there. He's interceding for us day in and day out. Amen and amen. He sure is. But you see, we got to get our heads on straight. Got to get our heads on straight. You see, there's more to it than just believing God. There's more to it than just believing Jesus. There's more to it. Listen to me now. Rather than being troubled like the devil wants you to be, there's a whole lot of people, they call themselves a child of God. I know that they are. I know a number of preachers around this country of ours. They're solid preachers. They're strong preachers. And yet their heart is full of fear at different times. Amen. I know that. But you see, rather than being troubled like the devil wants us to be, think on heaven. Verse number 2, John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. Wow. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen to the rest of verse number 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen and amen. Jesus is there preparing a place for every one of us that believe the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He's there. He's preparing a place for us. Amen. Preparing a place for us. Many will be there. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many's going to be there. But you know, there's not going to be the first empty mansion in heaven. Hello? Listen to this. There's not going to be the first empty mansion in heaven. John chapter 6 gives us these words. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. The Lord God knows everyone that's going to receive his gift. That's the only way we're going to get into heaven. Listen to me now. That's the only way we're going to get into heaven. Come Christmas time here, not too far off. If someone has a gift for me, they can look at me and they can say, I've got a gift over here for you. And I can say, well, thank you. And I can turn around and walk away and never know what that gift is. You see, what do we do when someone's got a gift for us? We go receive it. Amen. That's how we've always done. We go receive it. Listen to these words from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Are you getting saved? You get saved through grace. How do you get that? You just say, wow, thank you, Lord. Just turn around and walk away. No, no, no. That's a gift from God to us. The only way we get a gift from God or from anyone else is to go and receive it. Amen. That's the only way. We have to go and receive it. Our family get together with the grandchildren and all. There'll be gifts all over the place. There have been times when I thought we were done, and I'd start getting up and someone say, hold on, Paul. There's another gift over here for you. I said, well, I'll sit down and receive it then. So they bring it over to me, and I open it up. That's the only way I get it, is to sit down and receive it. And the only way that you're ever going to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is for you to come to him and repent to him as a sinner. Every sinner, he needs to do that. And he knows that every person on this earth is a sinner. We've been born a sinner. We inherited it from Adam himself. And every person that's ever been saved, ever been born, is born a sinner. There's a verse of scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? Every one of us. And yet Jesus came and he died on Calvary's tree. He had the sin load on him of every conceived person to ever be. He was paying every person's sin debt. There is no reason at all for any sinner to drop off into hell. No reason for it, because your sin debt has already been paid in. But the only way that you'll ever know it is to repent before God as a sinner. He knows that's what you are anyhow, and you know what that's what you are. And trust Christ to save your soul. And before you get up off your knees, you're going to know that the Spirit of God has come in and took up residence in your body. You're going to know that. You're going to know that. Oh, listen. This is all about going to heaven. Heaven is no lie. It's a real place where every believer indeed shall get there. Every believer shall be in the very presence of our God forever and forever. Amen and amen. Are you ready? Are you going there? Do you know for sure that you're going there? I've had the privilege of witnessing to a whole lot of people. And I talked to a man, and he acted like he was born again. And after we talked a little bit, I looked at him and I says, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? He says, I hope so. Back at him, and I said, what did you just say? He says, I said, I hope so. That's what I believe. I just believe if I just hope, I'll get there. I said, don't you know that you're a sinner? Well, I don't sin all that much, no. He was on his way to hell. He was hoping that he was going to get to heaven. You know, he's not ever going to get there. You know why? Because he's not stopped to receive that gift of salvation from God. Amen. That's the only way we get in. Amen. But you see, it's a real place. It's a real place that gets filled up more and more and more and more. A lot of my hero preachers are home with the Lord now. I mean, they are home with the Lord. That's where they went. When they took their last breath here, they were home with the Lord immediately. Amen. I had one that I had come to know in Kansas City, Missouri. We were a member of his church for some time. And when we left that church and took a pastorate down south Missouri, he says, "You better make sure you heard God." I said, "I heard God." He says, "Well, if you ever leave down there, you can come back here." I said, "Well, thank you, sir." And when it was time for us to leave, I called him and I said, "Well, we're done here. But the Lord has called us back to the state of Michigan." "Oh, no," he says, "no, you can't go back there." I said, "Well, I have to go back there because the Lord has called us there." And he says, "Brother Doug, anytime that you find out that you crossed wires with God and you didn't get it right, you come back here." Well, I knew he was expecting me to go back there and pastor that church, and it was a large church. We run 1,200 every service. And I knew that. But I also knew that God had called us back to the state of Michigan, and when we got back to the state of Michigan, it wasn't too awful long before I was called as pastor of a church up in the Upper Peninsula, and they still had snow all over the place when I went up there the first time. And it was about 2 months later, they called me. And so we went up there. They had a big old house for us to live in. The bathroom was in the basement. Basement or upstairs. It was a three-bedroom house. Big old place. My wife says, "I don't know about this." It was a three-story, three-bedroom, three-floor. And, I mean, it was a huge place. And after about 6 months, on a Sunday evening, the head deacon came to me as I was greeting people as they were leaving. And he tried his best to talk to me, but he was stuttering so much I couldn't understand what he was even saying. And finally I looked at him and I said, "Jerry, hold on. Hold on. Don't say another word." He said, "What?" I said, "Don't say another word." And I shook hands with about the last one to leave. And I said, "Now, quit your stuttering and tell me what's on your mind." And he pointed that big old fat finger right in my face. And he said, "Preacher, don't you ever mention sin from the pulpit again." Can you believe that? "Don't you ever mention sin from the pulpit again." Well, I said, "I think it's time that we deacons have a meeting." And we had a meeting. And I knew them really well. I mean, I knew where they're coming from. And so after the meeting, I just went ahead and resigned. And when we left that church, there was a lost man. I had tried to get him to come to church, and he wouldn't go to that church. And I kept running into him. He says, "Preacher, you need to get a church started." I said, "Well, we need a church, a building." And I mean, we looked for a building and everything. And one day I was driving down Main Street, and all of a sudden, right there in front of me, there was a two-story brick building sitting there empty. I said, "Well, probably got to put a lot of money in that place, but I got to find out who owns this place." So I had to go to the city hall to find out who owned the place, and I found out who owned it. I called the feller, and he said, "Well, yeah, he said, I own that place. He said, I had great plans for that place." He says, I knew what I wanted to put in there. He said, "But I'll sell it to you." And so he told me how much he wanted for it. And I went back to our church. We didn't have maybe 15, 18 people is all we had. And I told my people, I said, ladies and gentlemen, it's like this. Found that building, but he wants X number of dollars for it. And we're needing to beg God to either give us the money or for him to give us that building. One way or the other, that's the only way we'll get it. Well, after a while, he called me and wanted me to come and go through the papers and all that stuff on that building. So I did. And he gave me the history on about everything. And finally he says, all right, now, preacher, he says, there's one favor I'm not going to give you. And I immediately thought, yeah, I should have known there's going to be some strings attached. I went, well, what's that, sir? He says, the contract. He says, the building is yours free and clear. Do what you want to with it. Well, good night, nurse. I went back that first Sunday and told our people about it. And they started shouting because they'd been praying right along with me. And it wasn't long, and I run into that lost man out on the street. I said, hey, Bob, God's given us a building. He said, where's it at? And I said, right there on Main Street. He said, I just found that building. He said, I'm just going to tell you about it myself. And I said, well, I beat you to it. He said, well, he said, I'm a little bit crippled, but he says, I can sure enough help you get some things done in there. And he did. He came in there and had one crutch that he always walked around with. And he worked like nobody's business. And he got a whole lot of the work done. And I thanked him. And I said, now, we've got the first service coming. He won. I told him. He said, I'll be there. And so we had that first service, and before we had that first service, we had had a very wealthy man that had been coming to the church, a Catholic. He didn't know Christ, and I had talked to him about it before, and he said, I'm all right. Don't worry about me. Well, he was just depending on his money, I guess, but his son was an attorney, and his son was practicing about 10 miles away. And so on a Wednesday, we're supposed to have our first service that following Sunday. And the Wednesday before, a telephone rung, and it was this attorney. He says, Mr. Quick, listen, he says, I've heard some things. I need to call you and tell you about it. And I said, well, tell me. He says, is it true that you're going to have your first service this coming Sunday? I said, yes, sir, that's very true. Well, he says, I tell you what, he says, I heard through the grapevine, he says, you'll be in jail before the sun goes down that day. Well, that didn't set real good with me. I mean, I didn't expect, you know, to have to go to jail. And went home Wednesday night. I didn't sleep good Wednesday night. Got up Thursday, did what I could. Thursday night, I didn't sleep real good. Spent these nights just in prayer. Friday, the same thing. And Saturday, went to bed. And about 1 o'clock Sunday morning, the Spirit of God came by and spoke to me. And he said, have your first service. I'll be there with you. So we got up on Sunday morning. My wife came to me. She said, well, honey, what we're going to do? And I said, we're going to have our service in that first in that new building. She said, you sure? And I said, the Lord told me. I said, I slept good like a baby after I heard from the Lord. So we got done with all the announcements and stuff. I stood to my feet, and I just getting into the introduction of my message, and who walks in the door? Two city policemen. Both of them got their uniforms and everything on. They walk in, they stop, and one leans on this side of the doorpost, and one leans on the other side of the doorpost. And the Spirit of God says, preach to them, son. And so I just forgot my introduction, and I preached Jesus. I mean, I preached Jesus until I was out of breath. And finally, I stopped, and I said, Okay, fellas. You come and you stand back there and you're watching me. Is there something that I can you tell me what's going on? And one of them tipped his hat back and he says, well, we just wanted to make sure there was a church service going on here. I said, well, if you can't tell that by now, you're dumber than a fence post. I probably shouldn't have said something like that, but it just come out. Well, they both went out the door. So we had our service. That afternoon, one of those policemen came back and he knocked on the church door. I was right close, about, I guess I was about ready to leave. So I stepped out. I said, yes, sir, I saw you earlier. He said, preacher, listen, he says, all I was doing just following orders. That's all I was doing. I said, well, you know, your order's going to get you to hell one of these days because you should have come to church and listened and trusted Christ. Well, he said, I can't do that now. I'm just sorry that I broke the service up like what we did. I said, well, I forgive you. And that was the end of the police coming. I never did get arrested, never spent a second in jail anywhere. And God just really built a church there. Then this very wealthy man had another son, and his other son was an electrician. And he came through and he wired that place from top to bottom. And, I mean, blessing after blessing after blessing. And then after we left, this same wealthy man bought the building right next to it that was empty. It wasn't as big as the one that we had for a church building. But he built that, and he built it up as a pastorium, so that the pastor would have a place to stay. And I've never been up there to see it. It's a long ways up there. But I know it's up there, and I know that church is still going. Amen. Amen. It's still going. It's still going. Amen. You see, that first church that we started in 1975, I think it was March 3rd of 1975, that church is still going too. They don't have very many people coming, but the pastor that's there now, he's been there for, I guess, maybe 10 years or so, maybe longer. He's getting up in age. His wife has already beat him home to the Lord, and he's waiting to go. He's up in his 80s, and he's still standing there preaching the word of God. Amen. You see, God will bless those things that we do for him. As long as we know that it's his will, he will bless it, and it'll keep right on going. Amen and amen. But you see, what I'm saying this heaven that we're talking about going, it's a real place. I've had the privilege of ministering for a long time. I've had the privilege of being the last one to speak to a number of those that crossed over and went home to be with the Lord. And I had the privilege of preaching, of standing and talking with a preacher just before he went home. And his last word to me was, hallelujah, I'm home. That was his last words. Hallelujah, I'm home. And I knew that's what he was talking about. Amen. I knew that's what he was talking about. Well, that's what I'm going to be talking about one of these days, too. But, you know, you have to, in order for you to be ready to go, you're going to have to accept heaven's jubilee. And heaven's jubilee is this: for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift from God. The only way you get into heaven is to repent before God as a sinner and beg God's Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and save your soul. And he'll do it without fail. He'll do it and do it and do it and do it. He'll do it. That's what he does. He does it wonderfully. But you see, that's the only way you get in. Then there's another verse I want to read to you. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and verse 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, listen to this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That confession with the mouth, that's when we go before the Lord and we go before him and we lay ourselves before him and we let him know that we know we're a sinner. We know that. Confession with your mouth. You have to confess it with before your Lord. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you see those two connections? The heart and the mouth. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to believe that gift in your heart. It's real. It's just as real as me giving you a gift from one of us to the other, standing there looking at each other. It's just that real. Amen. It's that real. It's a real gift. And it has to come into the heart. Amen. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When God saves your soul, you're going to have the same problem that I had when God saved me. When my daddy led me to Christ, got up off my knees, he looked at me and he said, "Well, son, looks like you got in on the business of going to heaven." I said, "Daddy, yes, but I got one problem." He said, "Well, what's that problem?" I got to tell somebody what just happened. And that was 60-some-odd years ago. And I still got that same problem. When God called me to preach, that was an avenue for me to be able to get out and let people know what happened in my heart. And it's just been wonderful. God has blessed me, and God has blessed me, and God has blessed me some more. Amen. I was just barely a teenager when I first met my wife. Wow. I thought to myself, that girl's the most beautiful girl I think I've ever seen in my life. Now that we've been married nearly 58 years, I tell you the same thing. She's the most beautiful girl I think I've ever seen in my life. Amen. You see, she's been faithful to me. I've been faithful to her. Nearly 58 years. October the 8th. Get that down, y'all. October the 8th is our wedding anniversary. We will celebrate our 58th wedding anniversary, and we're headed for 70. Amen. I used to say 56 and headed for 60, and my wife stopped me one time, and she says, 60 doesn't come after 56. I said, it's coming. I said, we'll get there before you know it. Well, now it's going to be 58. We'll just shoot for 70. Amen. I think it's a good thing to shoot for. Amen. But you see, what I'm saying to you, my Lord, the coming King, he is coming. He hasn't come back yet, but he is coming. There's no question about that. He could come this very day. He could come before I get done preaching. He could get done before I close in prayer. He could come right now. There's no Bible prophecy that has to be fulfilled before he comes. He's just waiting for the Father to look at him and say, "Son, go get my children." And when that takes place, boom, we will be home. Amen and amen. Well, let me pray. But before I pray, listen to me. I'm sure that there are sinners that hear the voice, my voice right now. I'm sure of that. And sinner, if you're going to go to heaven, the only way you get to heaven is to repent before God as a sinner, because you are a sinner. You are a sinner. And you're not going to get to heaven being a sinner. The only way you get to heaven is being a sinner and receiving the gift of God. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So if when the Lord convicts your heart and you know it, then you need to stop and trust Christ right then. You could do it right now. As I'm praying, you could do that right now. But when you get done, tell somebody what just happened in your heart. Amen. Our Father, thank you for these moments together. And thank you for this message that you've given me. Thank you for the listening audience that you've given me. I would plead with you for those that don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I would plead with you, Lord, that they would listen to what's been said. I would plead with you, dear Father, trust you, come to you as a sinner, and trust Christ to come and save their soul. And I know for a fact that'll happen just that fast. So, Lord, thank you for these moments. Thank you for Six Eyes Radio Network. And for the needs that they have, I would plead with you that you would meet each one of them. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ken, my field address is 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, Georgia. Waycross is spelled capital Waycross, Georgia. Our zip is 31501. And we're just so glad to be right here in the United States. We're right down here on the southeastern corner, but we're still in the United States, and we're glad for that. So, Brother Kent, I'll turn it over to you now.
Amen. And if those across the oceans there that are across out of the United States and across the seas would like to get a message to him a little bit quicker, you can contact me through email at feel, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch, T-O-U-C-H, king, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com, feel and touch king at gmail.com. In your subject line, just put question or comment for Brother Quick, and then just go ahead, write out your message. We will print that off and mail it to him. Once he sends back a reply, we will then put that into a PDF and send it right back to you. That way it'll make it a little quicker. Okay. Now, I know that we've got quite a few callers that would like to give either prayer requests or prayer praises, but Brother Quick, first off, I got to give what I got from the message. First off, you were talking about going home and all the blessings about Jesus and the new heavenly home we got. Boy, that's something to look forward to. And hey, that's one advantage of not having vision. Why?
Oh.
Because I don't have to look at the all the sinful stuff that's here on this earth, but the minute I take my last breath, I'll be opening my eyes and able to see the one with the nail-scarred hands. Amen. The one who saved me by his grace.
Yes, man.
When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And one other thing, Brother Quick, over here when Ruth and I would go out doing crusades for the Lord in the different parks, at least we know one thing as you were preaching. It kind of reminded me. At least we knew they were biblical. There was wires and rumors of wires.
Yeah.
Amen. Lots of those. Amen. All right. So, And we just still, I want to remind everybody, keep our blind ministry in prayer for the bus. And anybody wishing to donate to that could go to our website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, B-I-B-L-E-S, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. And right there on the homepage, you'll see a picture of a bus, and it talks about the bus ministry. You could click that, and it gives you all the details, what our percentage is, and all of that. And you could donate right there, and got all the information on how you could donate. All right, Ruthie, who do we got with us? I understand we got a pile of listeners, so let's get to them.
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. That's quite a crowd, but they're always there. We have you, Sister Emily. I don't know this 404 person, but we'll tell them. They have their hand up so they can speak. We have Lila, and we have 616 without not hand up if they want to. Go ahead, Pastor Quick and his wife, and just me.
Okay, let's start with Sister Emily.
Good message, Brother Quick, as always. But do me a favor, Brother Quick. Quit throwing bricks so hard, they hurt.
All right. Okay.
Also, be keeping me in prayer. I've had some issues come up with housing, so be keeping that in prayer. Also be keeping my mom and the staff out at the nursing home in prayer. And with that, I'm complete, Ken.
All right. Our caller 404, you could go ahead, prayer request, prayer praise, or any questions or comments.
I think their
go ahead,
phone muted.
Go ahead, caller. If you got your phone muted, just unmute yourself. You are ready. Just go ahead. Ruth, their mic is unmuted, correct?
Yeah, everybody else is too, except this 1616 person.
Okay. All right. They may have stepped away from their phone for a minute or something there.
They just left.
Okay. Who else do we got, Ruth?
We got Lila, and we have that 616, of course, Reverend Quick and his wife.
Okay. Lila.
Hello, y'all.
All right.
Hello.
How y'all doing today?
Good.
I have prayer praise.
Lay it on us.
I finally got a hold of my old group owner while I was out on LOA this week. She did say she would accept me back to her group home, and also there's a prayer request in there. Please keep me in prayer. I get to go out and be with her at her group home until I could get housing for me and Sister Emily and Mama Mary as well.
Okay.
So there was a prayer request in there too. Thank you, and that's all.
All right. We got all that, Lila. Okay. And
thank you.
All right. If our 616 wishes to speak, all they have to do is let us know. We'd be glad to hear from them. We know, I'm pretty sure that's Brother Quick's relative there.
Yeah, they can press the number one is all they need to do, and then I'll just open the mic.
We'd be happy for them to join us.
Okay, they just did.
All right. Have your mic open momentarily. There you go. Go ahead.
That was a good message, Brother Quick. I appreciated it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Any prayer requests, my friend?
Just pray for our nation. Pray for Trump. In Jesus' name.
All right.
All right.
Okay, that's it for you, my man?
Yep.
Okay. Well, glad to have you on. Join us anytime. All right. Well, with that, I think we covered everybody, right, Ruth?
Well, I can say something.
Yeah, well, you're last. That's what I was saying. We covered everybody else, right?
Yeah.
All right, Ruthie, you're last on the freight train.
I just want to praise the Lord for the fact I still have no pain in my back after those 6 injections of steroids. So I tell you right now, it's already been a month since I had no pain at all. So I still have the exercises in the pool I did today, and I think I have a couple more, and then I'm going back in December. So it looks like they're going to maybe completely let me keep going every few months and do some more. So I'm having too much fun in there today. We actually played the music, and some of us had dancing going on.
All right.
Praise the Lord. And I'm praying for Tim and the war, and of course, Emily. Reverend Quick and his wife's request, and I'm glad they're going to have their family there, too. And there's some other people. I'm just going to say, Lord, you know who they are. My old mind is a little tired, so I can't remember, but you know. So we'll just praise and bless your name, Lord, and loved Reverend Quick's sermon, and we're ready to go to his prayer when he's ready.
Okay, and finally, we can't leave her out. Sister Quick, anything there you want to mention about Brother Quick's message, and then we'll have Brother Quick give us a closing remarks and a closing prayer.
Well, as always, he has a good message, and sometimes I have to listen to some same stories over and over, but that's okay. The Lord really took care of us all these years, and he continues to take care of us on a daily basis, and we just thank him for the way he does do that for us. It's precious to see him answer so many prayers. With that, I'm complete.
Okay.
All right, Brother Quick. It's yours.
All right, my brother. Well, it's always good to be back on Six Eyes Radio Network. And, good to hear Brother Ken and Miss Ruth and Miss Emily and Miss Lila. It's good to hear her tonight. Y'all just keep on keeping on for the Lord. And just keep right on a witnessing. That's the best way you can do it. And that's what we're doing. Our Father, thank you for these moments together. And Lord, for the message that went forth this night, I would plead with you that you just convict hearts, that you just put it on them. For those that have never trusted Christ to save their soul, I would plead with you, you just convict them and keep right on convicting them until they come to know Christ. Thank you so much for that free gift that God has given us. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that's a gift from God. And the only way we'll receive a gift is to go out and to reach out and take it. And that's the only way we'll get saved also. Amen. So Lord, just help us now in these days, the final seconds of this final day. I'm asking you just help each one of us be found faithful unto you, that you'd be with Brother Six, that you'd strengthen him, Brother Ken, Miss Emily, Miss Ruth, and those other ones that are a part of this network. We're just asking you just minister unto each one and help us to know that you're right here with us every moment of every day. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. Thank you so much for loving us that same way in return. be with us now, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all.
Amen. God bless everybody. Have a good one.
Night, everyone.